plastic, but chest hair grow. Can't eat spaghetti or macaroni. If you ask me, it's a load of baloney. I can always feel the sun right in my lower intestine. Gives me pain and tummy aches. Must have been something that I ate. Could have been the oats or wheat or rye. Could have been the batter on the fish we buy. Call it gluten and it's absolute. The reason I get sick inside. I can't eat bread, I can't eat dough. I can't eat crust, pickle, chest, and grow. Can't eat spaghetti or macaroni. If you ask me, it's a load of baloney. My family tree. I can make buns and I can make bread. I can make anything that you're all fed. I make things that are sweet or sour. I make it all with special flour. There's no difference between you and me, except the fact that I'm gluten free. I can't eat bread, I can't eat dough. I can't eat crust to make my chest hair grow. Can't eat spaghetti or macaroni. If you ask me, it's a
hey, everybody, this is Sick Puppy.
This is the Most Reverend Father Spoon.
Coming at you with episode 81 for ShouldIDrinkThat.com.
Or even if it's gluten.
We drink it.
So you don't have to.
Or, in this case, we're drinking it because
you have to. We're going to find out.
Wow. That actually made perfect sense, and you guys have no idea what we're talking about. It only makes sense to us two right now.
Unless you checked out our Facebook page and saw what we were talking about.
Sneak peek. See, join our Facebook page. Got all the insider information.
Yeah, facebook.com/shouldIDrinkThat.
There you go.
Hey, Puppy, what are we drinking tonight?
We are drinking gluten-free beers.
Free at last, free at last. God almighty, it's
free at last. Oh my god, you just remind me of that Randa's Too Damn High guy when you said that.
The gluten is too damn high.
Gluten is too damn high.
Yes. So, we've had a lot of requests in the almost 6 years that we've been doing this show to,
yeah,
to do gluten-free beer, and the main reason why we haven't is it hasn't been available in Pennsylvania, besides Budweiser's product.
Yeah, besides what is it, Breckenridge, right?
Yeah, Redbridge. Yeah.
Redbridge, I'm sorry. Redbridge. Yeah, not Breckenridge. Sorry, guys. Redbridge. Jesus. That was a horrible, horrible mistake.
Yeah, so we picked some up.
We did, and, you know, there's a lot more available out now than there was, what, 5 years ago even?
Dude, even a year ago.
Even a year ago. Planet. Yeah,
the ones we have tonight are from New Planet, and I know these are newer to the area. There's also Greens, I think, is the other one.
Yeah, Greens. There's Bards. This has been out for a long, long time.
Yeah, and Dogfish also came out with their Tweezenale, which if we have enough time tonight, we're going to get to that one also.
Oh yeah, definitely, dude. But you know, I love the backstory about this whole brewery, man. You want to tell the folks a little bit about this one?
Okay, so they actually make only three beers at the brewery, and those three are, which we happen to have here tonight, we got the Tread Lightly Ale, the Off-Grid Pale Ale, and then a Raspberry Ale. It's the 3R Raspberry Ale.
Raspberry!
And a lot of this is actually, it's based around different ways to help the planet. I mean, their name is New Planet, and that's their deal. So the thing that Sick Puppy was digging into, and that I actually saw a video on their website, which their website is newplanetbeer.com. If you go to it, there's a ton of information about being gluten-free, recipes that are gluten-free, why they do what they do, and the video intro basically talks about what happened. One of the founders, Pedro Gonzalez, was diagnosed with celiac disease in 2003. And then Pedro's wife, Seneca, and make sure I get all these names right, also became committed to a gluten-free lifestyle. As she watched Pedro's transformation from a chronic fatigue, weight loss, and joint pain to a vibrant, healthy lifestyle. If you work for the company and this sounds familiar, it's because I'm reading it off your website. But if you watch the video on their website, the cool thing is he says, basically it started at a birthday party where they made a beer that was gluten-free. Thought they'd give it a shot. And I guess the beer was pretty kick-ass. And they said, let's give it a shot. And they tried other beers that were around. They found a couple that they liked, but there was a need for like a really good gluten-free beer. So, voila! And they are based out of Boulder, Colorado.
Yeah, and I believe they're the only gluten-free brewer in Colorado. So, for those that aren't really familiar, Spoon, what is celiac disease?
Well, celiac disease is an
autoimmune.
I can't say that word for some reason.
Machinery.
Disorder. Yeah, machinery. Disorder with symptoms triggered by gluten, the protein in grains like wheat, barley, and rye, the delicious things in our craft beers, which are typically found in craft beer or beer in general. Finding out that they had celiac disease, I hope we're pronouncing that right, celiac.
Yeah.
I think we are.
Yeah.
Answered so many questions and, provided instant relief, Pedro was quoted as saying. So it's, from what I've heard, once you go gluten-free, it really does change your life. I have friends that are gluten-free now, not because they have the disease, but because they want to make a lifestyle change, which I totally respect them for doing that, and they've been... Wow, I've never seen them with so much energy before.
Oh, wow, that's interesting. My uncle actually has celiac disease.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he's a big craft beer snob, and I feel really bad for him. So, Unc, this show's for you, brother.
And also for our buddy Scott Sweep, who Joe.
And all of our other lovely fans out there that have this affliction.
For Joe Polk. Who's a lot of these guys actually have friends that are that have been looking for good gluten-free beers, and they've been coming to us, and we didn't know what to tell them. So hopefully this show will answer a lot of questions.
And I think we'll talk about this later, Spoon, but I think we actually have another opportunity to feature a bunch more gluten-free beers that I've discovered, so we can do maybe another gluten-free down the road. But we're in the here and now, so we'll stick with these for the moment.
Well, see, the other thing, too, is a lot of people don't realize that they actually have – celiac disease. It's about 1 in 100 people have it. And I think the estimates are that it could be as high as 50% or even 70% of the population have it. You just don't know. It depends on how severe it is.
Right.
And a perfect person to ask about this, which I did today, because you always got a person.
We do our research, damn it.
You always got a person. my friend Emily has a business. It's a really kick-ass business. And in fact, that's how I met her, was through a health fair. It's for rejuvenating your life. Oh, and her website is emilylevinson.com, which there's going to be links off of the Should I Drink That website.
Awesome.
And basically what she does is, I knew she didn't drink a lot of beer. She doesn't really drink beer. And she was talking to me about being gluten-free and everything. But what she does is food sensitivity training, and that's how she was finding out that about 70% of the people test sensitive to either wheat and or gluten. And what happens is it actually causes a lot of inflammation and issues with digestion. You don't got to tell me about that one.
Damn.
And as her, I asked her to send me an email, basically summarizing everything. And she said that common symptoms are bloating, low energy, and exhaustion. I'm just lazy, so
if you already know you're lazy, then you'll never know you got celiac disease.
Skin rashes and red bumps on the skin. Constipation, that's not a problem here.
Yeah, same here. I'm good with that.
And headaches, I get those, but I have kids. Intense seasonal allergies. I have that because I'm from Erie. That happens. And as she puts it, some other fun ones.
Oh.
But she has this really great business. Or what she can do is she can actually run bioenergetic assessment on you. And the assessment involves taking simple and painless electronic readings on the skin surface and of the hands and the feet. And the test results are immediate, showing what foods you are testing sensitive to.
Wow. So she think it'd does, be that simple.
Neither did I. And every the couple times she's told me about it, it's been fascinating. So there's this whole new world of that we never knew about before. Some of these folks are like, I live that every day.
She's a witch doctor.
She's far from a witch doctor. The people that are too chicken shit to go get tested would probably say that.
Yeah, I'm a healthy guy.
Yeah, exactly.
But the testing is done through her, or actually done by her, through Wellspring Whole Health. And there's the initial testing and consultation is about 90 minutes, and then the follow-up testing is 60 minutes. And she's got pricing and everything on her website, so we'll have links to that. But definitely check out Emily. She's a wealth of knowledge. She has some kick-ass recipes for living gluten-free.
That's awesome, man. So that's kind of our check your prostate message, should I drink that, right here.
Except I'm not going to make you a puppet.
I'm just saying, it's kind of parallel, man.
She does a lot of like stress management too, like how to relax during the day, and just about being very at peace. It's your this is your SIDT moment of zen.
Oh.
And the only way to reach zen in our world is to drink beer. So without further ado, puppy, I'm thirsty.
Yeah, me too. But before we get to that, man, we've got a little bit more to talk about.
What's that?
Just a little bit. What does it mean to be gluten free? On a legal sense, the government definition. So the FDA definition states that for a food or beverage to be labeled gluten-free, it cannot contain any of the following. Any ingredient that is any species of the grains, wheat, rye, barley, or a crossbred hybrid of those prohibited grains. Anything derived from that, and it hasn't been processed to remove the gluten. For example, wheat flour. Or anything, an ingredient that's derived from a prohibited grain that has been processed to remove gluten, like wheat starch, if the use of that ingredient results in the presence of 20 parts per million or more, gluten is considered to be in the food. So they kind of got that 20 parts per million threshold there. And what I like about New Planet, dude, is they actually, every batch that they do, they send it out to get tested to make sure that they hit that standard.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. And you can actually look at the reports and everything on their website. They're done by Microback Laboratories in Boulder, Colorado. And so what, instead of using all of those, bad things, if you will, for certain people, they actually replace all that with sorghum. And sorghum is an alternative to wheat and barley. It's a grass, really, that's cultivated in warmer and drier climates worldwide. It's kind of native to tropical and subtropical regions of Africa and Asia. And I think one species in Mexico. But now it's grown all over the world. United States produces 9.8 metric tons of sorghum. And it's the fifth most important cereal crop grown in the world.
So hooray for science.
That's the difference. That's what you're getting instead of the wheats and the barleys, and they just substitute all that with a sorghum to make it gluten free.
Right.
Yeah. So which one are we starting with right now, Spoon? Enough of the education. Let's get to the beer.
And I actually have something that's gonna trump that later, but no wait. Okay,
want to tread lightly into this?
Let's tread lightly into this and do the tread lightly ale. If you ever are curious what we're drinking while we record and you happen to be online, you can always follow us on Untappd because I log all my beers, which kind of ruins the surprise.
All right, man.
I had to get that plug out there because I want more people to follow me because I'm a whore.
Yeah, so. And I am not, and we'll get to that in the later show, I promise.
Okay, tread lightly. Actually, wait, we should probably make sure. Good? It is not a twist-off?
It is not a twist-off. It's right. A very light-colored beer, man.
All of their beers, 2 or 5%.
That is golden yellow.
So it is like a... how should we put this?
Session?
Yeah, it's a good session beer. Lou Bryson would dig it.
Yeah, right on.
In his session beer project. Holy look at that.
Yeah, it's
dude, that's like a Mick Ultra.
I didn't get much head from mine, but I don't know if that's because it's
a
gluten-free thing. I don't know if that's part of that, but it's something to look into later, actually. And this is made from sorghum, corn extract, orange peel, hops, and yeast. Pretty basic beer, actually. Bright, light-bodied.
Yeah, I mean, it's, wow, like, seriously, I'm holding up to the monitor. I can see right through it.
I can
see my monitor fine.
And they claim that this one doesn't have the aftertaste of other sorghum-based beers. So we'll see.
Sorghum. Okay, first beer of the evening. Here we go.
Cheers, brother.
That's different.
Yes, but not in a bad way. I think this may be something you have to get used to, I think. Because that's a whole new world.
Wow.
It's a whole new planet.
It's a new planet.
I mean,
what
honestly,
is that?
I'm getting orange peel and corn.
I'm getting the corn.
You gonna get the orange peel out of that?
It's right on the roof of my mouth. Hold on.
That's what I'm getting, that citrusy, you know, from the hops and the orange peel.
Yeah.
It does have an aftertaste. I will say that. It kind of sticks to the back of your throat.
It's not bad.
Really think it's sound negative. It's just a new experience for me, I guess. So,
well, here's how it's settling in my mouth. Is I'm getting a lot of orange peel on the top, on the roof of my mouth.
That's very prominent with mine, dude.
And then right around my palate and underneath my tongue, it's very much corn.
I would agree.
Wow. That's unique.
Dude, I actually might use this for my summer hot as hell day beer. This would be great on a hot sunny day, man.
This isn't bad at all. I kind of dig this.
I kind of dig this one, too. And again, though, if you're not used to gluten-free beers, it's maybe a little smack to your palate at first, but get over it. It's a decent beer. It's a simple beer.
Well, here's the other thing, too, that I learned. Is I've had these beers sitting out for a little bit so that they would warm up because my fridge was really cold because some little 3-year-old decided to crank up the coldness.
That's funny.
So I took the beers out and I had them sitting out. So they are at room temperature right now. And they're absolutely perfect.
I actually just kind of pulled mine out of the fridge here right before we started the show, so mine's cold. And
this is
very good. I like it.
Mm-hmm. I could. I would drink this again.
I mean, it does have a different flavor.
That's so unique. Wow.
Yeah, it's unique, right. But and not in a bad way, though. I hope we don't sound too negative talking like that, but it's not a negative thing at all. It's an interesting beer. I mean, it is. They were right. I mean, it's crisp, clean. And again, man, it's a simple beer.
I wasn't expecting this much flavor in something that was that
yeah.
Light.
Yeah, I agree, dude. I thought this was going to be bland as hell, and it's not.
Hey, because when you see a beer this light, you don't usually think it's going to have a lot of flavor to it.
Exactly.
A lot of punch, but
it's got a lot more body to it than I expected. Again, it's still a lighter style of beer, but, you know. And by the way, how's the head on yours? Mine completely disappeared.
Oh, mine's gone. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I have a little bit.
I don't even have any lacing, dude.
Yeah, I have no lacing on my gloss.
Huh. Wonder if that's a gluten-free thing. I'm not sure. Like I said, I'll have to look into that.
Or the fact this is an incredibly light ale.
I mean, it's super light. I mean, I'm still getting carbonation bubbles in it, but no head or no lacing whatsoever.
That's a... Wow. Okay, so I definitely have to say that... If I did, you know, was given this opportunity to drink it again, I definitely would. I wouldn't purposely buy one.
I think I would. I mean, if I was going to, like, the parents' house or a family thing, I might buy that for them.
Whoa, that's really weird.
What's that? What'd you get? What'd you pick up?
the aftertaste is like starting to come back up like my through my throat. And
oh yeah, that's what I'm getting to. I get a lot of orange peel though, man. It's orange peel, orange peel, orange peel.
I'm actually getting a lot of like cereal.
Yeah, it's probably from the fucking corn extract.
Mm. I never thought I'd like corn extract like this though.
Yeah, and when we say corn extract, it's not like, you know, the corn adjuncts and the big boys. It's a little different here, I guess.
I think this is pretty.
Yeah, it's decent. Yeah, like, but, you know, we can't really say too much about it more than that, though, because it is a basic beer. But hey, you know, if you got the affliction, I recommend this one.
If you got the affliction, get the addiction.
Hey!
I like that.
I think we just gave them their new tagline. New planet. The affliction addiction.
And so as part of the New Planet's beer mission, each of their labels is named after a concept that helps a do-good thing for the planet.
Yeah, so blah, 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 tread lightly on the earth. Yeah, recycle, fuck you, whatever.
The tread lightly ale reminds us whenever we're traversing by foot, ski, or wheels, to do it carefully and thoughtfully. Leave as little impact from your visit to the wild places of the world and pick up any trash or debris you might see to help restore any damage caused by humans.
Those damn humans.
New Planet Beer will donate a portion of their profits each year to organizations working to lighten the load of our wild places. Our wild places bear from human impact. There you go.
Yeah, it's cool to do all that good stuff. You know, I don't have a problem with that at all.
Drink their beer, save the earth.
Drink craft beer, save the planet. Well, cheers, man.
Cheers. Now, for the people wondering, this only has 125 calories in it.
Oh, good point.
Huh. Delicious tasting beer that's low in carbs.
Yeah, right. Calories. Calories, yeah.
Whatever.
Huh.
Hell do I care? I'm a fat ass.
And I did notice too, you know, these New Planet ones. I don't know if it's a gluten-free legal thing again. I'm not sure, but they actually have nutrition facts right on the side of the bottle. They do.
Oh, check that out.
Whole bunch of zeros though. That's weird.
17 grams of carbs.
Yeah, 17 grams.
Well, yeah, there's no sodium. Well, this is actually a very healthy beer.
It's pretty cool.
I really dig that. Huh. Beer is healthy for you.
Interesting.
Well, that one's down. What do we got next?
Are you all done already?
Yes.
Some bitch, you thirsty.
Hey, we spent a lot of time bullshitting there to start the show, so we've got to...
Yeah, yeah. Apologize for that, you know, injection of education. Injection of knowledge, I should say.
Education through inebriation.
Hi, your t-shirt for the day, Foster Brooks.
I'm Professor Sick Poppy.
So what are we doing next? Ready to jump into the other one?
Oh, hell yes.
Number
There's
two.
No reason to sit around and wait.
Let's see. Let's go off the grid, man.
You want to do off the grid? All right.
Let's do off the grid.
All right, so the next beer is Off the Grid Pale Ale, which is a wonderful interpretation of the classic pale ale style. It has a distinctly deep amber color and great character and body. Three varieties of hops provide wonderful aroma and a citrus and spicy hop flavor. Huh. This smooth gluten... Wow, I'm already belching. This smooth gluten-free ale is made from sorghum and brown rice extract, molasses, tapioca
maltodextrin.
Thank you, maltodextrin. Caramel. Or
wow, you stuttering already, man. What the
No, I'm trying not to burp in the microphone. I am very gassy right now.
Let me take that for you.
Hops and yeast.
I'm actually surprised at some of them ingredients, man, for this. Molasses, tapioca, maltodextrin. And you notice they replaced the corn extract with brown rice extract in this one.
Now, off the grid means living in a self-sufficient manner without the reliance on public utilities like gas and electric. Well, that's all the fun stuff.
Yeah, screw that. Dude, caramel color, that scares me a bit.
All right.
Let's get these bad boys open.
Since, if you hear my keys jingling around, it's because somebody lost my bottle opener.
Oh, I'm using our butt plug slash bottle opener.
Yeah, I don't have one
from
of those.
Days of yore.
But I have this kick-ass like bartender's bottle opener.
Yeah.
And she can't find it.
Ouch.
So I have this one on my keychain.
I have one for you. I'll get it to you tomorrow.
I have an Eerie Brewing one around here somewhere, too. So they just keep disappearing.
All right. Let's do this.
Pour this and see how it
goes. Whoa, I just sniffed it out of the bottle. That's got a distinct aroma to it. Stronger than I thought. And this is a pale ale.
This actually smells just like a regular...
Wow, this is way more carbonated than the first one, dude.
This actually looks very sexy.
By far, this is way more carbonated than the first one. Wow. That one's got to come more of a copper color to it.
This actually kind of looks like a Yingling.
A Yingling! Yeah, it kind of does, actually. Oh, first swig, what do you think?
Wow. It's...
Wow.
Oh, wow. Wow.
That's good.
Jesus. I like the hot bitterness. Is very noticeable. I like that.
Dude,
I really like that.
I actually got like molasses and then the bitterness in the end.
Yeah. It started out with the molasses like down below, and then the hops just like came out like it was a shower of hops coming down.
Do you realize this is like probably the first time in a long time we've actually agreed with our palates? Usually we're a bit off from each other.
I'm kind of liking this one. I would buy this one.
Yeah, I like this one a bit more than the the regular Tread Lightly ale. I mean, not to take away from the Tread Lightly, but this has a lot more going on, I think. That's interesting, man.
You know what? If I was told that I can no longer drink craft beers, I would absolutely pick this one up because this tastes like most of the pale ales. Actually, this is better than most of the pale ales I've had.
Yeah, this is a flavorful beer, man. I'm very impressed.
Would it be wrong to make a beer bread out of this?
Oh, dude, that should have came out of my mouth and not yours. Evil, evil man.
I'm just thinking, because it's...
That's just myself so a hole. Wrong.
No, I'm just
have
thinking
that... Have some bread, it's gluten-free.
I'm just thinking... Yeah, that's British gluten-free funny. We're trying to think of what we're going to make next with beer. And when I saw pale ale, I automatically thought of the pale... Because usually you use pale ales and bread.
Okay. So,
noted. For whatever reason, pale ales are like a good beer to use when you're making beer bread. And that's why after I'm drinking this, I'm like, I can make a good bread. Wait, no, I probably shouldn't.
Dude, yeah, just the sound of that is just, that's just, fuck, that's bad. That's funny. Here, I hear you have celiac, so I made you some bread. Excuse me? Dude, that's so wrong. Ooh. I really like this, man.
This is a pretty delicious beer.
I'm impressed by this one. 170 calories.
I love how the hops are just like hanging around.
And dude, I never expected these to be. I thought these are all gonna be bland as hell. I never expected these to be the way they are. I'm very impressed, especially with this one.
And I'm gonna be honest here when we decided to do gluten-free, I wasn't looking forward to it.
I wasn't either, man. I've had some really bad ones in the past.
I love delicious, evil stuff. And so it's, to me, honestly, in my mind, in my uneducated mind, when it comes to gluten-free stuff, I thought it was going to be like, you know, when you take the fat and everything out of steak. You know, you're taking that good element out of it, but...
Yeah, you have that mindset, I think, that we've kind of gotten saturated with, is anything diet this or, you know, free of that or this is bland and boring and stupid.
But you know what?
Not the case here.
Once I talked to Emily today, I was just like, you know what, I'm going to go into this open-minded. And I had told her, I'm like, I'm not looking forward to doing this, but I know a lot of our friends will drink this stuff. I go, and maybe it's just because I don't know enough about it. And after talking to her today and reading her website and getting all this information, I'm like, man, there's like a whole other world out there I just don't know about.
Mm-hmm. And, dude, I'm still getting that little bit of an odd aftertaste with these. Something lingering there I just can't quite get. But that aside...
Is that the sorghum?
Yeah, I'm thinking it's probably that, because it's kind of new to me, you know? I would guess it's that.
I'm kind
of
getting...
The first beer did the same thing with me, so I'm assuming it's the sorghum.
This is just blowing my mind, the fact that the molasses is so predominant.
When you read pale ale, have you ever heard of, you know, those ingredients in a pale ale?
No,
me neither. I'm pleasantly surprised, man. This is 2 for 2. Damn.
But the next one we have, I keep looking at it like.
Yeah, we'll get to that. Damn it.
We'll get to that in a little bit.
Yeah, that's probably the one I was least looking forward to.
So that story I wanted to bring up to you.
Oh yeah,
and this is one of the reasons why everybody should follow us on Facebook, is because tonight before the show I posted and said, "Hey, we're doing gluten free beers. You know, what are some of your reactions to it? Or, you know, what's your favorite one?" And people are like, "We've never had it.
Yeah.
You know, please let us know." Or I had one. I had the Red Bridge and it was awful.
Yeah, I've had that one too. Not good.
I've had the Budweiser or somebody else's beers and they're just disgusting. Please let us know. And then our good friend, the Hop Candy Man.
Ah, Bob Biro.
Posted this article, which I'm going to like fly through this thing. So we bullshit enough on the show.
So. This is good, man. This is actually really good information. I'm digging this. So, you know, feel free to do whatever, man.
Well, some of this we've already brought up, but it's all right. So the article is headlined with Craft Brew Alliance announces gluten-free emission beer. This is the official press release. This spring, Craft Brew Alliance will launch emission beer, the first craft beer brand in the United States focused exclusively on brewing great-tasting craft beers with traditional beer ingredients, including malted barley, that are specifically crafted to be gluten-free.
Wow.
So this is where now the whole story takes a turn.
That's interesting. See, that's new to me, too. I didn't see that before.
And then it goes into, you know, how a beer has to be gluten-free.
Yeah, the 20 parts per million or whatever, yeah.
So let's see here. So skimming down through. Unlike many other gluten-free beers currently available, emission beers are not brewed with sorghum, rice, tapioca, buckwheat, or quinoa.
Quinoa.
Is that how you say it? That's quinoa.
Quinoa.
Wow, I've never actually seen it in print.
I actually eat a lot of that, dude. It's heavy on the protein for anybody that's, you know, workout gym eating healthy thing.
I learned something new. I've never seen that in print.
A lot of protein in quinoa.
Okay. They are brewed using traditional beer ingredients, malted barley, hops, water, and yeast.
That's amazing, dude. I cannot wait to follow up with that.
And then, all right, Omission Beer has been a work in progress for the last 6 years, said Joe Casey, the brewmaster at Widmer Brothers Brewing.
Of course, yeah, he's one of the big boys of that group you mentioned earlier.
My wife was diagnosed with celiac in 2006, and since then, we've made our mission to brew a great-tasting craft beer using traditional beer ingredients that everyone of legal drinking age could enjoy. After years of hard work, mission accomplished.
Wow, man.
So, and this is the last part of it. Each batch of Omission beer is tested by an independent lab to ensure that all Omission beers contain well below 20 ppm of gluten. Gluten levels in Omission beers are tested using the R5 competitive ELISA test. I don't know if I'm actually supposed to pronounce that, or because they have it like dashed out.
A big acronym or something? Yeah.
Yeah. Beer will not be released to consumers until test results are received and after an extended quality assurance hold.
Yeah, after the FDA gets a hold of it.
So yeah, you know, leave it to them to say, you know, we're going to make a gluten-free beer out of regular, you know, your regular craft beer ingredients.
That's amazing, man. So yeah, hell, what the hell are we doing the show for then? Let's wrap it up.
Well, screw it. Don't listen to anything else we have to say the rest of the night.
Now that's good news, man.
I thought that was it was fitting too, and this is another one of those good things where if you're on our Facebook page, you'll get information like this, and people were already talking about it, and we're just now recording the show.
Yeah, that's great, man. Love it.
Oh, you know, always join the conversation on there and check it out. Facebook.com/shouldidrinkthat, and get involved in that.
Yeah, dude. I mean, even for me, I had no idea. That's amazing news.
Yeah, it's the article came from the Beer Goddess. I should probably I should quote my source since I got it from Bob, but yeah, it was thebeergoddess.com has it as one of the top headlines.
Oh, I got you. Cool. Yeah, we'll probably post a link to that on the show notes as well.
Oh, absolutely.
So what else is going on, man?
Oh, man, it's getting busy around here with Pittsburgh Craft Beer Week coming up.
Yeah, it's insane, man.
April 20th to the 28th.
Yep, and even on April 21st, man, big tap-in in Youngstown, Ohio. It's going to be an amazing event.
Just listening to Phil and Sandy talk about that thing online is...
Oh, it's great. And, you know, if you guys, if anybody out there is thinking about going to that, get your tickets fast because they're almost sold out.
And then there's me who has prior family commitments.
Yeah.
You know, it's...
Hey, but we have a great guest host, man.
We do. I guess we can make the official announcement that...
Good old Slouch from Aleheads.com is going to be joining me.
Yes, Slouch Six-Pack.
Slouch Six-Pack and the Sick Puppy.
And we'll be sitting in for the Most Reverend Father Spoon, and I really don't think he has any idea what he's in for with sitting next to you at a beer fest all day.
he's going to die.
Him and I were talking about this before, and he's like, what should I expect? I'm like, and I was like, honestly, it's like Big Brother. Expect the unexpected, because I was like, stuff just happens.
Yeah, especially you got to roll with it. At the after party, it gets a little crazy. Remember, we were handcuffed last year.
That is true.
Dude, I can finally give details on my event coming up for Pittsburgh Craft Beer Week, and I'm very excited, very, very excited. It's actually coming together solid now, man.
Well, everyone.
I sent out an invite on Facebook. It's going to give you more details if you can go to our page, and I'll somehow get that connected. But... on April 22nd, it's a Sunday of Pittsburgh Craft Beer Week, at the Dive Bar and Grill in Wexford, there's going to be two sessions, first one being 12 to 3, second one will be 5 to 8, and it's going to be $40 per person, and we have the breweries are confirmed, and let me run down the list here real quick. It's going to be Helltown Brewing, All Saints Brewing, Una Brew. Full Pint, Oscar Blues, New Holland, Erie Brewing is going to be there, and he's bringing some special firkins as well. Trogues will be there, Victory, Penn, Southern Tier, Beach Brewing out of Virginia. That's going to be a new one for me. Rock Bottom Brewery is going to be there. Voodoo Brewing Company, you know, Matt's going to be there for that. And we have a couple Sixtals coming, too, that are kind of special. Lost Abbey Serpent Imperial and Stillwater's Existential Ale.
Ooh.
And then we do have a couple pending breweries. Got in touch with Dark Horse, but haven't heard back from them yet. Buckeye Brewing from Ohio may be there. We need to follow up with them. And I'll know by next week if Scott from East End can make it, which I hope he
can. Oh, very cool.
I hope he can, yeah. He'll be a great addition to that whole lineup, man. And we're going to have some... I almost forgot, because this changed today. I'm sorry. Local up-and-coming little nano brewery that we know and love around here is Shoe Brew. He will have a couple kegs at this event as well, so you can try his beers, too. We got guest hosts pouring from One for the Road Tap tap room right down the road, local six-pack shop in Wexford. And homebrew club, my boys from Troub, Three Rivers Underground Brewers, we're going to be pouring some of their homebrews there as well. We're going to have our good friend Jonathan Berner. He's actually an artist, and he will be painting pictures of beer, like beer in glasses and things like that. Saw some of his paintings. They look amazing, so you should check it out. He'll actually be painting some there as well while the whole thing's going on. And our good friend that we mentioned earlier, Bob Biro from the Bee Hoppy Candy Company, will be there with his hop candy and some wares. And I think he's even going to have some rhizomes there. If anyone needs rhizomes, you can get them right from him that day. So it's going to be a big event, man. Bigger than we expected. It kind of grew on its own, really. And then even the next day, you know, if you fall asleep in the parking lot or whatever, don't drive. We're going to have Trogues there at the same place at the dive bar from 6 to 8.
Wow.
Mike Waters from Trogues is going to be there. It's going to be like a pint glass night thing.
And Mikey!
Possible beers, not confirmed yet, but he may have some of the Springfest Lager, which is their Scratch 60.
Ooh.
Yeah, and some special flying mouflon. So,
ooh. Look
forward to that as well. Yeah. Dude, yeah, it's all over Pittsburgh. It's turned
you
out.
You guys have
a great
all
week,
that...
man.
See, this is what the problem. Once I leave the north, look what happens.
Yeah, see?
I was the reason, apparently. I was the one holding everyone back. Shit.
Dude, I think, you know, they're like, hey, do you want to be part of Pittsburgh Craft Beer Week? I think I just went batshit crazy. That's how this shit started.
But hey,
as far as I know, it's going to be one of the larger events that whole week, from what I know so far.
Yeah, I haven't heard too many details on the other ones. I know there's, I think they're expecting about 100 or so events overall to be happening.
Wow. And there is a lot more on the Pittsburgh Craft Beer Week website. And by the way, that's exactly how I said it, PittsburghCraftBeerWeek.com.
There's an H in Pittsburgh, you heathens.
Yeah, make sure you put the H in there. They should have had a redirect to put an H in there, like a 404. You need an H in that.
Should tell them to buy that.
But yeah, check it out. I hope you guys can be there. The capacity is probably, I forget what he said, honestly. I think it's maybe 150 per each session, so get your tickets quick. Because it will fill up, man. Dive Bar's going to have food there as well.
Oh, good.
If you haven't had the dive bar food...
I have not.
Not the dive bar food in general, but the dive bar grill.
I've had dive bar food.
It's fucking amazing food, dude. And you know me, I don't really, you know, pimp food that much. But holy shit, dude, everything I tried from them is just amazing.
Is this where you're talking about great the burgers and everything are for our audience that can't have them?
Yeah. I won't go there. Go to Dive Bar and Grill. Oh, actually, what is that?
Divebarandgrill.com?
I don't think it is.
I think it is.
Is it? Did you confirm that?
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now, and there's an E on grill.
That is what's going on my end of the shtick there for Pittsburgh Craft Beer Week. And, you know, dude... one more thing, too.
They have pictures of their food on their site.
Oh, they're amazing, dude.
Oh.
99 bottles in Carnegie.
Yes.
Our boy Jason Lavery will be there pouring some of his beers as well. And what day did I say that was? So, yeah, the one for the Lavery sampling is at 99 bottles in Carnegie. And you were right. It's on the 25th, April 25th, from 6 to 9. So he'll be there for 3 hours. Jason will be there himself pouring the beers, man. So look forward to that as well.
Or if you're a native Yinzer, it's Carnegie.
Carnegie and that. Carnegie.
It's Carnegie Hall. It's Carnegie, Pennsylvania. Either way, it's right off of either 79 or... It's actually, the easiest way to get to it is off of Parkway West.
And that's why I kind of approach them, too. I mean, like, you know, I'm doing all these events in the north. It's so easy to get to from the north, man.
It's easy for us in the south, too.
Yeah,
I like it.
It's an easy trip there.
All right, well, let's get to this last beer of theirs.
Beer number three. I'm still drinking my beer number two and enjoying it, man. I've been milking that bad boy. I love it.
Get another glass.
I am, actually. You read my mind, man.
All right, so the final beer from New Planet is the 3R Raspberry Ale.
Now, tell me, Spoon. What? I know you had said earlier, you know, about the names.
Before I open this, what?
The names meaning something, you know, to do with, you know, how to treat the planet. What the hell's up with the 3 R's?
Oh, dude, reduce, reuse, recycle.
There you go. That was a quiz.
It's recycling.
I thought it was reading, writing, arithmetic.
Reading, writing, arithmetic?
Arithmetic.
It is if you're in Pittsburgh. All right. Ooh, I see a little hint of pink in this.
Oh, no way. This one's actually, I don't know about the other ones, I couldn't find anything, but this one's actually won some awards.
Uh-oh. Take a smile. Take a little sniffy sniff.
And they were awarded the bronze for 3R Raspberry Ale, competing against 13 other beers in the gluten-free category at the American Beer Festival, Great American Beer Festival.
Only 160 calories in this one.
I don't get much aroma out at all. I got to pour it.
Oh, I am. I'm getting straight up raspberry.
Raspberry.
Oh, I like it, though. I like raspberry.
Wow, that does have a hint of pink. Kind of reminds me of Matt's from Voodoo Brewing. His Voodoo Love Child, in a way. Not quite the same, but close.
Now, see, the people listening to the show can't see this, but every time I go down to smell this, it looks like I'm doing a lot of coke.
It does look funny on the video.
All right.
Nah, as you pour it in a glass, that light pink color kind of goes away. Uh-oh. Did Spoon try the 3R? Oh, now I get the aroma. Now that I poured it out, dude. It smells. Wow, that's... It doesn't smell good.
That's some serious strong...
Yeah, you're making me laugh and choke. Wow. Yeah, it's an award-winning ale with the right balance of fruit flavor and aroma, made from sorghum, corn extract, natural raspberry puree, orange peel, hops, and yeast. Not
rub
overly
dirt in it, take a lap. Spit, choke, and pukes. Big world of beer.
Of beer. Not overly sweet, the Oregon-grown fruit puree creates a beautiful body color with natural raspberry flavor.
Here's my problem with this.
I haven't even tried it yet. I'm just...
Oh, I'm going to wait till you drink it before you...
Sucking up the aroma right now.
Before I put these thoughts in your head.
It kind of reminds me of Pedialyte.
Yeah.
And the aroma. Is that a bad thing?
Well, maybe for a grown guy without kids to say it reminds me of Pedialyte, it could be. But...
That tastes like a fucking Jolly Rancher.
Yep.
It's exactly what that tastes like, a Jolly Rancher. If you like Jolly Ranchers, you better suck up this beer, man.
I think the raspberry puree is a little much. I like the aroma on it, but the taste...
Yes, I don't want to bash this beer. I don't want to judge it because I don't like Jolly Ranchers. I mean, I get it.
It's not bad.
It won awards, so somebody likes it.
If it was a little bit thicker, I think.
I think maybe for me personally, a little bit lighter on the raspberry, like you said, would be a little bit, you know, more appealing to me.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of raspberry in that bad boy.
There is a shit ton of raspberry in this thing.
A shit ton of raspberry.
There is.
Yeah, this one's not for me. I mean, again, not a bad beer. Just not my style, dude.
If you like Zima and dropping Jolly Rancher,
yeah,
in it,
that's what I was thinking too.
This is a great beer for you. I do like raspberries, and I like the raspberry in this, but I think that it's too much of the puree.
It's a bit much. I mean, for me, it is. Other people I absolutely adore this beer.
Yeah.
And if you're into that kind of like even that like Erie Brewing Derailed, you're gonna love this.
Thank you. That was the beer I was trying to think of.
That is kind of that. It's got that same vibe to it. I think this one's a little heavier on flavor than the Derailed, but you guys can be the judge of that because I haven't had one for a while, honestly, so I can't really make that.
It's a little bit lighter on the flavor of the Derailed, But Derailed has a little bit more body to it, a little bit thicker.
Okay, I'll take your word for that because I don't remember.
Ooh.
Yeah, dude, and I don't know if it's the sorghum, but these are making us burp like son of a bitch.
Probably because it's cleansing our body of toxins.
Yeah, right. You know, does that work in reverse? What if I'm allergic to sorghum?
Then you're screwed.
I need wheat and barley, damn it!
It's not bad.
Man. No, it's not. It's just that as soon as that Jolly Rancher thought hit my head, I was over it. Be honest with you, because I'm not a fan of that at all. And, you know, and I think even having another beer after this one, you might want to have a glass of water in between because it kind of sticks with your palate.
Yeah, that raspberry is just, it's really sticking around. It's not bad.
I don't think we're good judges of this one, dude, honestly.
No, it's...
Because I just don't like the... And I like the beer, and I get it, and I respect it. I really do. It's just not one for me. It's right now, this is all about personal taste. It's a good beer, just not for me.
I don't think it's too bad. It's not one I can get into. It's a good beer, but it's not something I can get into.
Yeah, I agree.
Is the best way to put it.
Right.
All three beers from them tonight have been, you know, pretty good.
I think so far, dude, my favorite, I mean, out of the three, Off-Grid Pale Ale. Love that beer.
Yeah.
That is the shining star of this show for me tonight.
Oh, absolutely.
The Tread Lightly is a good, but and after you know having them back-to-back, I would reach for that Off-Grid way more often than I would the Tread Lightly Ale.
Now, we do have one more beer, but Six Puppy couldn't get a hold of it, and we have both had this beer before. So
yeah,
we're just going to let you know what we think of it.
I'm going to do it from memory, dude, so...
Oh, I have it implanted in my head. I know exactly what this beer tastes like.
Yeah, so Spoon, let's just talk about this beer a little bit. I had it a while back when it first came out.
Yeah, I had it recently, and I wrote notes on it, so I know exactly what this beer was like. So the beer is Tweezin Ale from Dogfish Head.
Mm-hmm.
And the beer is 6% ABV. Which is, it's kind of high for a gluten-free beer.
Yeah, it's a Dogfish thing, though. I think they, you know, kind of meant to do that.
But the best way to describe this beer, and this will always be stuck in my head. Now, first of all, the reason, the Tweezin, is because it's in between seasons.
It's the reason for the Tweezin.
So that's how I got its name.
Yeah.
If you're familiar with Crunchberry from Captain Crunch...
Oh, dude, spot on.
That's what this beer is.
Spot on, dude.
I mean, Tweezin Ale is Crunchberry.
Their description is, you know, it's a... Replaced a classic barley foundation of beer with a mild sorghum base. The hints of molasses and pit fruit are balanced by vibrant strawberry notes, and that's where you get that from, I think, and a unique complexity that comes with the addition of a malty buckwheat honey. And, dude, I think it's kind of perfect that we did the 3R and talked about this back-to-back. Because I'm kind of in the same boat with both of them. Just not for me.
The Tweezin's a little bit similar to how this tastes with the raspberry.
Right, right.
You will get that out of the... you get strawberry out of the other one. And the honey that they used in the Tweezin is from Ohio. And it's... I don't think they said it was a buckwheat honey. It was a, I could be wrong. But it basically had a really strong malt character, like a dark malt character to it, which helped with that with the flavor in the beer. That helped, boost its profile a little bit. So when you're drinking it, you're not going, oh, well, this is just, you know, another gluten-free beer. But it's like, wow, there's a lot of malt character to this. There's a lot of, you know, fruit in it.
Mm-hmm.
This is just a great beer.
But yeah, the Tweezin did. I think you hit the nail on the head with that description. I don't know. It's got almost like an acidic wine kind of taste to it, don't you think?
Yeah.
A little bit.
Like a wine cooler.
Yeah, exactly. Little high ABV Bartles and James thing going on there with carbonation.
Yeah, and not like wine cooler, like a bad thing wine cooler, but like...
Yeah. It's got a similar flavor profile, I guess.
Let's put it this way. You'll know it when you try it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you're into them fruitier, sweeter beers like that, I mean, I would highly recommend the 3R and the Tweezin to anyone. Yeah. Just, again, those two together, wrapped in a package, I'm taking them back to the store. Doing a little exchange, you know.
Doing the exchange.
Yeah, not for me. It's like a bad tie gift from Christmas.
Hey, before we sign out here, I think we do need to take a moment of silence.
Uh-oh.
The last piece of Mellon Arena came down today.
Oh, did it?
They're just showing it on the news right now, and yeah, it's that big black arm that used to hold everything up.
Yeah, gone.
Came crashing down.
Damn, I used to see a lot of metal shows there. A few hockey games in between.
It's weird because someone took a picture from the Steel Center, like the top of the USX Tower, like showing down, and the thing was. Like it's the basement and everything is like covered over now. Like it's flat ground.
Oh, wow.
It's just weird to see it.
So you don't even see like the round circle shape of it.
It's gone. Oh, that's
gone.
Wow,
that's all gone. Jeez.
And they're showing it right now. They're showing it. It's coming down and man.
Huh.
Just one of those things where you see a building that's been there all your entire life and.
Yeah, hey, let's tear down a neighborhood, kick the people out, put up an arena. You know, a few years later, we'll tear it down again, flatten the place, fuck it.
Fuck it.
Politics, whatever.
Yeah, I like our new arena, though, so I can't complain.
Yeah, right on.
Go Pens. All right, so.
So, dude, gluten beers, man, finally. Gluten-free beers.
Yeah, gluten-free, thank you.
Yeah, whoops. Gluten-free beers. Finally did a show on it. I'm actually glad we did, because I actually learned a lot on this one. And so I think I found a favorite so far. Out of all the gluten-free beers I've tried, that Off-Grid is really, really nice.
Off-Grid, definitely my beer of the night.
Yep. And again, they only make three, the Tread Lightly Ale, Off-Grid Pale Ale, and that 3R Raspberry Ale. I'm more impressed than I thought I was going to be, dude.
If we were like some cheesy podcast and rating all the beers for the evening, we're actually identical with our beers.
Yeah, yeah. And we actually agreed across the board on this whole show, too, dude.
Oh, man, I can't stop burping.
maybe sorghum not for you.
I'll have to ask Emily about that.
Or maybe like, it's purging you of all your nastiness.
It's doing something, so.
All right, buddy. All right, man. I think you're going to need to take a Tums, dude. Let's wrap this up.
For shouldidrinkthat.com, this is the Most Reverend Father Spoon.
This has been Sick Gluten-Free Puppy.
Where even if it's crap.
Even if it's gluten, we drink it, so you don't have to.
You don't have to. All right.
All right, we out, bitches.
Bitches!
Eat a bullet.